We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you miss us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8 p.m. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
And make sure you're following us on all the social medias. Because we out here. Twitter.
Where we at?
Facebook. Instagram. Hey. House Party. YouTube. Twitch.
You know
Black
it.
Black Planet. Did somebody say OnlyFans?
Listen.
MySpace. Tinder. Catch us ticking on the tack. And Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on the first Black astronaut that takes off on SpaceX. And Mike Tyson and Roy Jones step back in the ring for a friendly game of tag.
And Patrice Kohler's vision for the Biden-Harris administration, and Kyle Rittenhouse being released from custody after posting $2 million in bail.
But first, let's jump into federal judge dismisses Trump campaign Pennsylvania lawsuit. A U.S. District Court judge last Saturday dismissed a lawsuit by the Trump campaign trying to invalidate millions of Pennsylvania mail-in votes in a significant loss for the campaign. Though the case was always extremely unlikely to succeed, President Donald Trump's backers and legal team, and particularly his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, had pinned their hopes on the federal judge in Pennsylvania giving some credibility to their suspicions of fraud and entertaining Trump's attempt to overturn the popular vote for President-elect Joe Biden. But Judge Matthew Braun, a longtime and well-known Republican in Pennsylvania, refused. This was essentially the last major case seeking to throw out or block enough votes that would swing a key state in Trump's favor. And Braun's decision on Saturday is the 30th loss or withdrawal of a case from the Trump campaign and its allies since Election Day. Man, there have only been two wins in court, about very small numbers of votes. Plaintiffs asked this court to disenfranchise almost 7 million voters. The court has been unable to find any case in which a plaintiff has sought such a drastic remedy in the context of an election, in terms of the sheer volume of votes asked to be invalidated. U.S. District Court Judge Matthew Braun wrote Saturday, the counties in the state are scheduled to certify their elections on Monday. The judge said any further consideration of the issue would unduly delay resolution of the issues regarding clarification. Man.
Definitely, you know, you miss every shot you don't take. They was taking all the shots.
So I guess we got to commend them on that. You got to give it the old college try.
Yeah, the Bruh. Old college try.
You don't go Whoa. Somewhere. It's a rat.
For 7 million though?
Yikes. But here's the funniest part about this. They're saying that the votes for Biden are invalid. But anywhere else down the ballot where Republicans may have won, those votes count. Those are valid. It's so scary.
In the words of Joseph Budden, befuddled me from the jump. Where does the argument stand?
Right.
When the other Republicans in the state kept their seats or won the seats that
right.
they were up for?
Right. Riddle me this.
Not right here.
Nah, dude. Not at all.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about a Black astronaut taking off into space. NASA astronaut Victor Glover became the first Black person to embark on a long-term stay at the International Space Station. Just a day after blasting off for his mission aboard the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, Resilience, Glover, along with the crew of other NASA astronauts, arrived on Monday, November 16th, Monday, after a 27-hour trip, according to Space.com. The ISS has had residents on the orbiting space platform for two decades now. However, Glover, a U.S. Navy commander and test pilot, is the first African American to stay there long term. Other Blacks have been to the station before, but were only there on space shuttle missions while it was being constructed. He's one of the 15 Black astronauts out of 300 people that NASA has sent to space. It is something to be celebrated once we accomplish it, and you know, I'm honored to be in the position and to be a part of this great and experienced crew, Glover said at a news conference reported Space.com. And I look forward to getting up there and doing my best to make sure that, you know, we're worthy of all the work that's been put into setting us up for this mission. Glover is scheduled to spend 6 months on the station as a crew member of the Expedition 64 and 65 missions. The next black person to go to space is expected to be Jeanette Epps, who will ride Boeing CST-100 Starliner capsule to the ISS when it launches in 2021. The first African-American astronaut was Guyon Bluford, who traveled into outer space in 1983 aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger. The first black person was Cuban cosmonaut Arnaldo Tamayo Mendez, who was part of the Russian Soyuz 38 mission in 1980. The first black woman to travel to space was Mae Jemison, who was part of the Space Shuttle Endeavor crew in 1992.
That's tight.
Yes.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to us to the point where we're not, you know, looking at the firsts all the time. But yeah. It's tight. It's tight. Up in the space station.
Just
bruh.
A quick thing of like, I think about being on airplane rides and that takeoff on an airplane ride. And there's a certain amount of excitement that kicks in for me in that moment of the takeoff and then the landing. That is nothing in comparison to
zero.
A shuttle zero. Being shot into space and what kind of adrenaline runs through in that moment, especially knowing some of the past blunders.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. You're rolling the dice, bro. Like,
yes. Whew. And to be out into space. But, I mean, the few people who have had that experience where you can't even talk to other people to get them to fully understand what that's like. Like, that's got to be beyond awesome.
That's a really good point. Like, you can only talk to other astronauts about that.
Yeah.
To be able to have that conversation. Like, yo, it was crazy. Remember that part when? You know what I'm saying?
Look.
That feeling. Sheesh. That would be a dope. That would be a dope ride, though. Like, an amusement park. That would be a dope ride if they could, you know, as much as possible, duplicate those G forces and just put you strapped in. You could feel it. Whew. You got to sign a waiver or something, probably.
Yeah, no, definitely. Cause a lot of passing outs going on. a lot of limp bodies on the
all the videos where they scream, then you just pass out.
Yes.
Those joints are my favorite. Oh my God.
And then be coming back to it.
Yo.
And then start screaming. Continuing to scream. How did your body remember?
How did your body remember to pick up where you left off with the scream? Yo, that's so real. Because they get slumped. Yes. Like, they go to sleep, sleep.
Yeah, they're out.
Yeah. Face be all bumping on the side of the jaw. They be hitting the cushions. Then they wake up and just start screaming again. You know what? We need that astronaut all ride. Over. I need that. We need that astronaut ride. We need the cameras in there, too. All of that. Oh, man. Up next, Patrice Cullors' vision for the Biden-Harris administration. Patrice Cullors, one of the three co-founders of Black Lives Matter and a TV writer for Good Trouble, who recently signed an overall production deal with Warner Brothers Television Group, has asked for a seat at the table with the Biden-Harris administration after black women helped propel them to victory. Black people, especially black women, have saved the United States, she tells a Hollywood Reporter in a wide-ranging interview. Black Lives Matter Global Network alone had direct voter engagement with more than 60 million people via phone banking, text messaging, and ads for this historic election. Cullors is hoping that the new administration will more than acknowledge the hard work of the black community. Black Lives Matter Global Network sent a letter to the Biden-Harris team to ask for a seat at the table. They are still waiting for a response. We know that Black Lives Matter Global Network and all the black-led organizations around the country really helped win this election, and we hope that they sit down with the leadership that was dedicated to getting them in office, she told the entertainment news outlet. Black Lives Matter will be there to hold the Biden-Harris administration accountable and work with this administration to dismantle a system that for too long hasn't worked for the black community. That's what's up. I'm curious to see how that's going to play out as far as actually being able to hold them accountable. Because, you know, you and I have talked about that time and time again. There's only so much you can do once you get them in. But, I'm glad they're being vocal about it and just being up front, like, you know, no buts about it. Let's not play any games. We know who got y'all in there. Let's be up front, you know.
Right.
Have the conversations y'all need to have. Straight up.
Well, well, speaking of being up front.
Hey, hey.
This next story, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones get it back bracken. And that reason being because their match was an exhibition, which went into the history books, but not as a win or a loss because it was for the people.
Yay.
But for anyone paying attention, it was pretty obvious who won. Tyson far exceeded expectations with his stamina and Jones in survival mode. Mike made a point to get in there and tag him with body shots early and throughout the match. Slowing Roy down was very important. While Tyson was the rightful betting favorite given his advantage and power, few expected him to be the fresher fighter throughout. Tyson hadn't boxed professionally since 2005, and Jones retired just 2 years ago. But even more than his performance, hearing the humility and joy in Tyson's voice during the post-fight interview proved to be an unexpectedly genuine moment. CSAC Executive Director Andy Foster was so forthright in trying to declare this entertainment fight would play out as nothing more than hard sparring, with neither man going for the knockout. As a matter of fact, knockouts were a disqualifier, and the fight would have been stopped if there had been any cuts or lacerations. Boo.
Boo.
The rounds were lowered to just 2 minutes, even though both fighters wanted the full rounds. Tyson Jones might have been one of the worst promoted pay-per-views in boxing history. From marketing and public relations to the confusing divide between the commission's definition of the fight rules and those of the boxers and the promotion, it felt like anything was liable to happen. But the show itself was absolutely entertaining. Promo leading up to the bout listed Wiz Khalifa, French Montana, YG, and Lil Wayne set to perform or appear, with Neo giving us the national anthem. Snoop brought an incredible amount of levity to the broadcast booth over the final two fights that helped the pay-per-view not take itself too seriously. Snoop was hilarious when comparing Tyson and Jones to his uncles fighting at a backyard barbecue and singing after Nate Robinson was knocked out cold was the perfect mix of inappropriate fun.
My
sir,
goodness.
Let me, sir.
Yeah. In the post-fight conversation, they were interviewing Roy and asking him, you know, basically, you know, how he was feeling and basically, how was he concerned? And it was funny because Mike cut the interview off and was like, what about me? How come nobody's asking if I was cool? Asking if I was concerned? Asking if I was going to be all right? He only stopped boxing 3 years ago. I'll stop boxing. Damn, a decade and some change. Anybody checking on me? So that dude was like, but you're probably used to that. You're probably like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Please. Look, he has so many sound bites from that when dude told him, you know, everybody, you know, has a plan until they get hit. Well, Mike, you got hit. What happened? He said, I went to plan B. Mike is, man. And then you know, shout out to the Nate Robinson, you know, stepping up and jumping out of his arena into another
Molly Whopping
into a, you know, a newfound appreciation for naps. You know, silver linings. We always have to find the you silver linings. So
you're right.
And and you know, the thing is, I was in the middle of recording. Me and Morgan were recording the pod as the flood of internet memes started a flowing, and I had to put my phone away because things were popping up. Ooh. And these snickers and laughs. Sorry. But again, amazing night for the culture. So many people, you know, got to have a moment in the midst of everything going on.
Yeah.
Mike, in his maturity at this point, you know, in that post bout interview, just seeing that growth, but then also seeing the animal in that ring.
Woo!
Just that instinct that kicks in, and you can tell this is in him. That ain't something that fades
at all. I mean, just watching the workout videos on Instagram leading up to it, I was like, who would dare? Like, no, I don't want none. I don't want a single one of them. Shout out to Roy for taking them body shots, but I don't want to
see what.
And you know Mike was pulling. You know Mike was pulling them punches, B. You know he was. Because if he did,
I went back through them highlights and was just like, ooh, yeah. Mm. There's a few people in my life. You would have no pushback from me.
No quarrel. None.
Yeah. There's a couple of instances where it's like, no, I'm not just going to fight, even though I know I can lose. No.
No.
No. We're not doing that.
No, not at all. Shout out to Roy, though.
Yeah.
Shout out to Roy. Oh, man. Mm. So, a little update on Kyle Rittenhouse being released from custody after posting $2 million in bail a couple weeks ago. The teen accused of the fatal shooting of two people in August during protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was released from custody after posting $2 million in bail, according to the county sheriff's department. Rittenhouse was released Friday afternoon after the $2 million was posted through his attorney. Kenosha County Sheriff's Department spokesman Sergeant David Wright told CNN, CNN has reached out to attorneys for Rittenhouse for comment. Attorney Lynn Wood said in the tweet on Friday that Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow Inc., and actor Ricky Schroeder helped raise the required $2 million cash bail for Rittenhouse. God bless all who donated to help hashtag fight back. Raise required $2 million cash bail. Special thanks to actor Ricky Schroeder at Ricky Schroeder 1 and Mike Lindell at Real Mike Lindell for putting us over the top. Kyle is safe. Thanks to all who helped this boy, read the tweet. Rittenhouse faces charges that he allegedly killed Anthony M. Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum and wounded Gage Grosskreutz during protests that followed the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha in August. Rittenhouse faces two felony charges of homicide in the death of Rosenbaum and Huber and a felony attempted homicide charge in the case of Grosskreutz. He is also charged with possession of a dangerous weapon while under the age of 18, a misdemeanor according to court records. Rittenhouse is due back in court for a preliminary hearing on December 3rd. Man, for them to be like, he's safe, like his life was ever in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Before or after he got locked up. Like, come on, man.
You know, it's, I mean, not that it is shocking.
Right.
But to know that the money was raised as if this was a situation where he was unjustly arrested.
Right. I guess for some of these people, they definitely feel that way.
Yeah, fight back.
Yeah, fight back.
What are you fighting back against?
Right. You're the only one out there attacking people. Fam. What, that's the narrative? He was defending himself?
That seems to be how this is being painted. A scared young boy stepping up to protect
property in a state he doesn't even live in with a firearm he shouldn't be holding. Fight back. You must be crazy.
The life and the times.
I tell you, man. 2020. Let's wrap it up.
Well, on that note, make sure you all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron needs to resign.
Hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush.
Brett Hankinson needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Special thanks to our researchers and writers, Claudia Claudio, Sham Shawan, Hannah, Elisha, and Joseph Watson.
Miles Cosgrove needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Music by Seeds.
Jonathan Mattingly needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
I'm just going to keep saying it, bro. Know that.